What's happening locally? The news.
And it is time for us to take our first look for this week, our Monday morning look, some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama. For the third consecutive day, the Panamanian health authorities report no deaths due to COVID-19, which has now left a total of 8,170 accumulated deaths since the start of the pandemic in March of 2020. According to the epidemiological report of the Ministry of Health in Panama, there are 159 new cases. 4,641 tests were applied to detect those infected, and this gives us a positivity of 3.4%. In addition, the active cases in Panama total 2,240, of which 2,165 are in isolation and 75 hospitalized. Those who are in isolation are divided into 2,141 in their residences and 24 in the so-called hospital hotels, while the 75 hospitalized are divided into 68 patients in the wards and 7 in the intensive care units. The Foreign Minister of Panama, Erica Moines, announced that the Secretary of State of the United States, Antony Blinken, will visit the country in the coming days. The head of foreign relations hinted at TVN's radar program that one of the points to be discussed with Blinken is the trade promotion treaty between the two nations, which came into force in October of 2012. Panama has already expressed to the Joe Biden administration its interest in addressing the review of the tariff reduction rate. She said that the agreement provides for a review in 2025, but Panama has asked to bring that date forward. The Panamanian Foreign Ministry reported that Blinken would be visiting Panama in 2 weeks, but there is no exact date. The United States has shown interest in the region for issues such as drug trafficking, irregular migration, and corruption. The Electoral Tribunal confirmed on the afternoon of Sunday that in complete order and without incident, the internal elections of the Movimiento Otro Camino, MOCA or MOCA, concluded. The members of the aforementioned political group went to the polls to choose their 313 national leaders in a tournament organized and financed by the Electoral Court. Voting began at 7 a.m. and closed at 4 p.m. According to the Electoral Register, MOCA has 42,460 adherents, of which 19,512 are women and 22,948 are men. A preliminary report indicates that up to 1:30 p.m., 5,130 members of the collective voted, which represents 12.72%. Members of the body of the electoral delegates, inspectors, biosafety officers, circuit coordinators and conductors of the Tribunal Electoral worked during these votes. The chosen leaders will meet on the 22nd of May in a National Constitutive Convention to approve their statutes and the Board of Directors, the entity recalled. Article 9 of Law 122 of December 31st of 2019, which creates tax incentives for tourist activity, is unconstitutional, and the Supreme Court of Justice must declare it so. That is the opinion of the attorney in charge of the nation, Javier Caraballo, consulted on the matter as part of a claim of unconstitutionality against said article filed by the lawyer Ramon Ricardo Arias. In his opinion, sent to the magistrates of the court, Caraballo concluded that the aforementioned Article 9 of Law 122 of 2019 violates Article 276 of the Constitution, which establishes the prohibition of approving laws that affect or may affect budget income without, at the same time, new revenue being established to replace those that the state will no longer receive. And prior to that, the Comptroller's Office must issue a report on the effectiveness of these revenues. Article 276 of the Constitution maintains a mandate that materializes in the prohibition of approving laws that may affect the resources allocated in the budget, without at the same time establishing substitute income for those that the state ceases to receive, argued Caraballo. Now, according to the prosecutor, Law 32 of the 8th of November of 1984 is clear that the Comptroller's Office must issue an opinion regarding the bills that suppress income included in the budget. Caraballo stressed that in the minutes of the sessions of the National Assembly, it is noted that when the approval of today's Law 122 was discussed, there was no report from the Comptroller's Office, as required by the Constitution and the organic law of that entity. In turn, the Comptroller's Office also certified that there is no copy of a legislative petition on this subject on its files. At a time when the Mayor of the District of Panama, José Luis Fábrega, plans to build a multi-million dollar seafood market, for more than natural fact of $40 million, there is a project that he has chosen to abandon. It's called the Parque Municipal del Norte. Well, this work began in the last administration when the mayor was José Isabel Blandón and was developed on a 20-hectare plot of land in the community of San Vicente in the district of Chilibre at a cost of $17 million. It would be something very similar to what the Omar Recreational Park is in the district of San Francisco for the residents of downtown Panama City. In the case of the Parque Municipal del Norte, it would benefit the residents of Chilibre, Las Cumbres, Alcalde Díaz, Ernesto Córdoba, and Ancón. The work in charge of Grupo Parque Norte Constructora Pirinencia S.A. is 75% complete, according to the mayor's office itself. It would have facilities such as public squares, botanical gardens and recreational, cultural and educational services, a public market, a technological centre, a vocational centre and a sports complex with courts for different sports, and a gym was also contemplated. However, since 2020, work has stopped on the site, and a few days ago, Mayor Fábrega reported through a note to community leaders in the area that the project would not be reactivated. The request for information was made by a resident of the Caimitillo community and part of the public consultation movement, Elix Martinez, given the apathy in which that municipal structure is maintained. Well, in the letter, Fábrega states that efforts were made to resume the work, but due to a series of factors, a contract settlement process was agreed with the contractor, those factors were high financing costs and default interest payments, additional repairs, constant vandalism, and high cost of materials due to COVID-19. The Supreme Court of Justice will have the last word regarding an eventual conviction of the magistrates of the Tribunal Electoral of Fredo Junca and Heriberto Arruz. They are, or if they are, found guilty of the crime of abuse of authority, as was denounced this week by Mitchell Doens. It was considered by the former magistrate of the Criminal Chamber of the Supreme Court, Harry Diaz, who explained that Article 39 of the Code of Criminal Procedure establishes that the plenary session of the court is competent to hear the processes and precautionary measures against the deputies, the attorneys of the nation and the administration, the ministers of state, the magistrates of the electoral court and the comptroller general of the republic. He explained that the investigative work corresponds to the attorney general of the nation, a position currently held by Javier Caraballo, and that the court is responsible for the trial as well as issuing possible precautionary measures. Diaz's approach was shared by former electoral prosecutor Boris Barrios. However, Barrios considers that Doen's complaint would have been more forceful if the court had previously declared the resolution of March 22nd of 2022 signed by Junca and Arruz unconstitutional. Doen's, according to Barrios, could see that ruling as evidence against Junca and Arruz. Well, according to the Doen's complaint, the two Tribunal Electoral magistrates overstepped their limits by deciding that the principle of speciality of the United States and Panama Extradition Treaty applies to former President Ricardo Martinelli. A former magistrate, Edgardo Molino Mola, referring to the demands against the resolution of the 22nd of March of the Tribunal Electoral, said that Junca and Arruz should have circumscribed themselves to the electoral jurisdiction and not touch an issue that was not within their competence. Molino Mola argued that Junca and Arruz could not consider any substantive situation. The Archdiocese of Panama warned this Sunday that the use of masks will be mandatory in the processions that take place during Holy Week. This was announced on Sunday by the Archbishop of Panama, José Domingo Ulloa, who expressed that even though the Ministry of Health has determined that the use of masks can be dispensed with outdoors, during processions it will be mandatory to use the mask as well as the safety distance between those who participate. It was reported that this measure is enforced throughout the Archdiocese of Panama, which includes from the community of Torti in the eastern area to San Carlos province of West Panama. During mass processions and activities, we recommend that biosecurity measures be respected, especially the use of masks, even in open places, is what is reflected in the circular sent this weekend from the Metropolitan Curia. Likewise, Ulloa recalled that in his note, the reception of communion in the hand, the use of alcohol gel, the cleaning of the area used between each celebration, as well as the orderly and agile eviction of the church to avoid crowds, is in force. Earlier this week, the Panamanian Episcopal Conference issued a statement highlighting that it is up to the parish priests and their COVID-19 hygiene and health committee to determine the capacity of the churches according to the provisions established by the Ministry of Health and the particular conditions of each community. Next Sunday, the 10th of April, some religious activities begin, such as the celebration of Palm Sunday. And that's it. There we go. Some of those things relevant to us here today in the Republic of Panama, compiled for you on this morning's Breakfast Show.